Welcome to a discussion of a new paradigm of deliverance and inner healing. I feel a little bit sorry for you as you listen to this because it is the product of a 10-year journey for me, and I'm going to stuff everything that I've learned in 10 years into one CD set for you to absorb in a whole lot less than 10 years. That said, let's begin with a bit of a history lesson. I remember back in the 80s when I discovered deliverance. It was a very new concept, and our motto was lovely and simple back then. There was a verse in the New Testament that made it clear that the demonic gained jurisdiction, gained a legal right in our lives as a result of bitterness. So we learned to confess every different flavor of bitterness, even the bitterness that we thought we might have intended to think about having someday, and had some measure of success in getting rid of the demons that were associated with bitterness. I remember the sense of extreme betrayal that I felt when someone else discovered and brought to our attention that it wasn't just bitterness, it was also anything to do with sexual immorality. You know, we just doubled our workload in a single issue. It was awful. We had spent so much time dealing with bitterness that now we had to develop this whole other protocol dealing with sexual stuff. And of course, sometime down the road, we discovered that just about every imaginable sin could open the door to the enemy. And then it wasn't just sin. It was sin, rebellion, and iniquity, three different categories of sin. Then lo and behold, it wasn't just sin, rebellion, and iniquity. There were curses. And then we discovered Freemasonry and covenants and the fact that covenants can protect demons. If a demon won't go, we have to deal with a covenant first. Then lo and behold, horror of horrors. It wasn't just our junk. We had to deal with the generational stuff, generational curses, generational sin, generational covenants, and then there were demonic devices that were left behind, and then there were demons in the toys that we bought for our kids, and then, oh, by the way, there's demons in land as well. You can move into a house that's defiled, and then there's the whole issue of burden bearing for land in our spirit, and that affects our body, and then there was the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And over the last 40 years, the body of Christ has developed a rather impressive protocol for dealing with the demonic. Some of it actually even works. Yet I come to you today speaking on behalf of those who've played their hearts out and aren't free yet. And I'm not just talking about those who've gone through satanic ritual abuse and have extraordinary, horrific things in their background. I'm talking about a lot of ordinary people, bread and butter, salt of the earth kind of believers who have been diligent. They have gone here, gone there. They've read the books, listened to the CDs. They've gone through the group deliverance and the individual. They've gone through the inner healing. And they've seen tremendous amount of success, tremendous amount of freedom, tremendous amount of movement. But at the end of the day, when everything that everybody knows has been used on them, done to them, done by them, they still know that something isn't right. Something isn't done. It has to be better than this. I have both walked with those individuals and been one of those individuals for the last 5 years, having a little bit higher platform than many of you. I rub shoulders with the cutting edge people and I hear the new techniques. Everybody's got some new methodology that they've discovered or discerned or been taught. And I'm very overt in appropriating those things, applying them to my own life and pursuing as much cleansing as I can. An awful lot of them have turned out to be snake oil. There is at least as much nonsense out there as there is substance. Nonetheless, even with that fairly prolific amount of nonsense that I have gone through and subjected myself to and tested and embraced, there's been a lot of good stuff and a lot of change. And I am nowhere remotely near the person that I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. So there's been stuff that works. A lot of it works. I'm very, very different, very much more free than I used to be. And yet there was still this nagging awareness, I'm not done. And I know a lot of other people that have that low grade, I'm not done, but they can't point to anything specific, and a bunch more that can point to something specific, something that isn't moving, something that hasn't moved, something that stubbornly resists everybody's ministry, and they've been to everybody. So for those of you that are purist and require only the finest and the best of theology, I recommend you shut this CD off and run for the hills. And for those of you who have been there there, done that, and not gotten freedom, and you know there's something else, take a listen. One thing I can assure you, I'm neither dogmatic nor defiant about this. There's areas that I am very concerned about, and I will be completely open with my concerns and leave it to you to experiment and see whether this is something that you want to embrace. So what is this that we're talking about that I call an alien human spirit? Well, let's back up and frame it a little bit in terms of the markers coming in. First of all, over a period of time, we determined that this didn't seem to be a demon and that it didn't follow the rules of demons. We were not able to do the traditional deliverance, confession, and all of that. Didn't seem to work at all. Having ruled out demons, we then went to parts, since we had some understanding of dissociative identity disorder, otherwise known as DID, and we found that these things would talk, had opinions, had biases, could be cooperative, uncooperative. There were a whole lot of characteristics that made it similar to a part, and yet there were a lot of things that suggested it wasn't a part. One thing was clear, that is, they were sentient creatures, meaning they could feel and think, they had opinions, they had desires, there were things they were willing to do, not willing to do, things they were willing to talk about, not willing to talk about. So from that frame of reference of a living creature with mind, will, and emotions that did not seem to be part of a person's original humanity, was not something that was split off, nor did it seem to be a demon coming from the outside. We were stuck for a long period of time because that was our modality. There were demons and there were parts. Eventually, leaving out all the details of my pilgrimage, we have tentatively embraced the concept that these are human spirits belonging to someone else. Now, let me differentiate between a couple of things. I am pretty solidly convinced that there is an other, something besides parts and demons. I am not fighting for the fact that these are alien human spirits, although that's the language that we're going to be using here because it seems to fit the evidence that I have, and there's others that have walked this way before me. So in the current model, subject to revision before this hits the streets, we believe that a human spirit is placed in a body designed by God for his purposes. There is death here on planet Earth in time and space. For reasons that are a mystery to us and that are quite controversial, the spirit, the human spirit, does not go into eternity, either eternity of heaven or eternity of hell after that death. And eventually that spirit enters another human being without their will and without their knowledge. And you have two competing human spirits that are working over this individual life. Now, the spirit that God gave this body is dominant. It's the one that should be making the calls, choosing what to do with life, determining the perspective of life. And yet there's this backseat driver that sometimes reaches over into the front seat and tries to subtly or overtly wrestle for the steering wheel. And this competition is not just between two human spirits. It's a competition between two agendas that generally are a bit different. In my dialogue with these spirits, there has been a fairly clear theme of the spirits trying to take their surrogate body in a different direction so that they can live out the story they were supposed to live and bring it to a satisfactory conclusion. There seems to be a consistent theme of not wanting to go into eternity with their story unfinished the way it was when their first body died. Now, again, this is not consistent in 100% of the cases. It is a broad theme that we experience. A lot of these spirits have been identified and treated like demons. they generally will recede into the background and maintain a low profile for a while. The individual thinks that the deliverance was successful, but 3, 6, 9 months down the road, it begins to creep out again. That has led to the concept of a familiar spirit, meaning a spirit that is in a family line, a spirit that is a demon that is accustomed to being in you and in the family line, and it tries to sneak back in the back door. I'm sure that dynamic exists. I'm sure there are family demons that go and try to come back in when you aren't looking, but I also strongly suspect that some percentage of these familiar spirits are actually alien human spirits that just went undercover when somebody was getting in their face and then slowly crept out from behind the back seat and began gently testing the waters to see if they could reach over the shoulder and tweak the steering wheel a little bit. Also, many of them have been treated like parts. That's a whole nother discussion that we'll have later on in this series. So that's a simple overview. And the reason it took me 10 years to bring this to market is because it was just violently contrary to so much of what I grew up and believed. I went back and looked at the verse that says, absent from the body, present with the Lord, and discovered to my horror that that was not a statement of how things were. That was a statement of one godly person saying, you know, I'm real okay with dying. I'm, you know, had a belly full of this life, and I know that when I die, I'll just go to the presence of the Lord. It doesn't say that everybody immediately transitions into the presence of the Lord. There's another verse we'll look at a little later on that says it's appointed unto man once to die. Well, how do we process this in light of that? Those are problems, and I'm very upfront in saying that my emotional reaction to the idea of having somebody else's spirit living in me, competing with my spirit for big things and little things for my whole life's agenda was revolting, to say the least. And then once I got past the emotional hurdle, the intellectual hurdle of, yes, but what about the theology was also there. So again, I'm saying to you, I am not defiant nor dogmatic. I'm simply saying there is this other thing, whatever you want to call it, that requires a different protocol, whatever protocol you want to use. And I'm submitting my protocol that has been fairly effective for me and the people that I've handed it off to, for you to test and explore and discard or embrace, because I'm on a journey. I have not arrived at the destination. My first introduction to this topic that I certainly wasn't looking for came through a book that was sent to me by somebody out there, I have no idea who, with the comment that I needed to read it. I get a sizable number of those books every year. The majority of them sit on my urgent to read stack and never get read. And after a year, when the stack is so high, it represents a danger to humanity, a bunch of those get taken to Goodwill and we rebuild the stack, compliments of your generosity. For whatever reason, this one got read. And it was a book by Dr. Kenneth McCall, who was a missionary doctor to China, a Brit, and an Anglican. He went through conventional scientific medical school, went to China as a medical missionary, and discovered that the rules were different over there, that demons don't medicate worth a rip. Eventually, he came back to England to figure this phenomenon out, and in the process of his journey, he became kind of the go-to exorcist in the Anglican Church, dealing with two specialties. One was haunted houses, and the other was people suffering from insanity. His model is that these spirits fail to transition into eternity when they die a violent death. So that can be murder, suicide, accident, war, or any other variation of that nature. And that these spirits stay within either the land, the house where the death took place, hence the haunted houses, or they stay in the family line. And he did deliverance, if you want to call it that, of any number of people who had a generational alien spirit and cured them of their insanity on the spot, like in a 15-minute process. Became quite well known, quite famous, and developed a fairly narrow modality, process, interpretation. He kind of felt like he had the answers. The man lived and died a holy life. There was never accusation against him of impropriety financially or morally or building power structure. And again and again and again, he took his methodology. He dealt with people that had been insane, locked up for decades, and in an hour's time, they were sane. So I looked at that and said, I really don't like where this is going. And I put the book away and proceeded to ignore it until God came hunting for me. Over the years, this topic intruded many times. In the Catholic and Anglican streams of the faith, there has long been an awareness that, particularly after war, where there have been hundreds of people killed in a single event, that the spirits of those individuals are hovering there, are staying there on the land, have not gone into eternity until there was a spiritual father that performed some sort of a release ceremony. So again, a concept embraced by many over centuries that I had looked at, nodded at, and broadly ignored. In the last year, as I have been moving toward preparing this for publication, I've become aware that there's many others in the Deliverance and Inner Healing movement that are moving this direction. There's a variety of vocabulary out there. Different people are using different terms, different hooks. They have different modalities. And I'm not going to spend the time to review all the different ideas there. I'm simply saying that it's not just me. It's not just me and Dr. McCall. There is, in fact, a pressure either from God or from the devil to broaden our paradigm and see a third kind of sentient creature besides demons and parts of a divided person that are wrestling for control within our humanity. I'm willing to take the heat, put an unfinished tool out there for the body of Christ to explore, rip apart, correct, improve, develop, bring to maturity. For the sake of those of you who genuinely have been playing your heart out, I care about the journey you're on.